Okay, good evening, everybody. We are back at our Tuesday night series, which is preparing for the Yom HaDin. And as we started last week, we're going to, in order to understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about, we're going to be going through the Tfilos Hayom, primarily the Tfilah of Musaf, which is the focus of the day. And the three parts of Musaf, as we know, are Malchios, kingship, Zichronos, remembrances, and Shofros, which is the shofar, the mitzvah of the day. So last week we discussed Malchios and what exactly Malchios is all about, what our perspective towards Malchios should be. And keeping with our theme, it's a three-part series. So we are tonight going to discuss part two, which is Zichronos. So if you turn your attention to the shared screen that I'm going to put up, we're just going to look at a little bit of the nusach of what Zichronos is about, at least the opening parts of it. And by doing that, hopefully we'll get an idea and hopefully a question, which is going to be the primary focus of tonight's class, will pop into your minds as well. So since this is directly from the Machzor and Machzor Ashkenaz, I'm sorry for any Svard people out there, but we're gonna look at the Ashkenazi Machzor. So says the Machzor, Atazocher Maaseh Olam Upoked Kol. So you remember the dealings of men in today's world, and you also consider the behavior of all those who lived in earlier times. The Fanecha Niglu Kol Ta'alumos. Right? In your presence are revealed all hidden things and the multitude of secrets from the beginning of creation. For there is no forgetfulness before the throne of your glory, and there is nothing hidden from your eyes. You remember all that has been done, and even which that is for and even all that which is formed is not concealed from you. All is revealed and known before you, Hashem, our God, who observes and looks until the end of generations. For you set an appointed time of remembrance to consider every soul and being, to cause numerous deeds to be remembered, and for the multitude of creatures without end. From the beginning of creation, you have made this known, and from before time, you have revealed it. This day, Rosh Hashanah, is the beginning of your work, a memorial of the first day. For it is a statute for Yisrael, a day of judgment of the God of Yaakov. Over the countries, judgment is pronounced, which of them destined for the sword, for war, and which for peace, which for famine, which for abundance. And on it, creatures are brought to mind to be remembered for life or for death. Who is not considered on this day? For the remembrance of all that is formed comes before you, the dealings of man and the decrees of his fate and the misdeeds of man's actions and the thoughts of man and his schemes and the motives for the deeds of man. Fortunate is the man who does not forget you, the son of man who gains strength in you. For those who seek you will never stumble and will they be disgraced, all who trust in you. For the remembrance of all their deeds come before you, and you examine the deeds of all of them. Okay, so we'll hold here for now, because what we're going to get to next is what we're going to get to next. So what did we just say? So in other words, the idea of Zichronos, again, Malchios, which we discussed last week, was about declaring Hashem as the king. I'm going to hold the screen share for now. Malchios is about declaring the Shem as the king. And Zichronos seems to be a little bit more local. Zichronos on the surface seems to be the individual, not just the individual, but even the national. Meaning, Malchios, and this is, I'm heavily influenced. I'll just give right off the bat. I'll tell you that my words tonight are very heavily influenced by the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, R. Friedlander. And also Rabbi Yaakov Glasser from Yeshiva University of the CJF and from Passaic, who discussed this idea as well. And Malchios, as we discussed last week, seems to focus on the cosmic, in the cosmic sense, Hashem's Malchus, Hashem's kingship, right? Which is not something which obviously we each and every one of us need to accept Hashem's kingship on an individual level. But the primary focus of kingship is that it's on the cosmic level, that Hashem ultimately is the king of kings, and we want him to reveal himself to the entire cosmos, right? To all things. I'm sorry, Zichronos, on the other hand, it doesn't seem to be necessarily on the cosmic level, but on the individual level. And now, when I say individual, there's a little asterisk there, because we pointed out that it's not just the individual level, But it's on the national level as well. Hashem remembers the nations, which one for war, which one for peace. But more than that, we see that Hashem also takes into account all of the actions and all of the things that each and every individual do. So Zichronos seems to focus not on the cosmic level, but on the individual level. How Hashem takes into account all the aspects of our personal lives and our national lives, and not just on the cosmic level that Hashem is the King of Kings. Okay? So that, in a nutshell, is Zichronos. But the question is, and this is a question that you know, bothers many, and that is, what does it mean that there are Zichronos? What's the implication of Zichronos? That today is the day of some participation. Today is the day of what? He said it a couple of times. Yom HaZikaron, right? That's what we call Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaZikaron. So what does it mean, Yom HaZikaron? The day of remembrance. Whose remembrance? Presumably. Just call that out if you want. Presumably Hashem's remembrance, right? That Hashem on this day remembers all actions, remembers everything. Now, if you say that quickly enough and then move on, that works, right? But the question is, and we should all be bothered by this question, what does it mean that Hashem remembers? Because what does remembering imply? That you can forget. Thank you. I have my live audience here also. That you can forget, right? That you can forget. Now we know that we say it in the Tefillah that nothing is forgotten by Hashem. So if nothing's forgotten, then what does it mean that today is the day that it's remembered? Well, what does that even mean? Did Hashem forget about it and today is the day that Hashem is drawing it up? Well, what does that mean? When we remember things, we review so that we could remember them at a certain time. But what does it mean that Hashem remembers? It implies that there's a potential for Hashem to forget, but on this day he remembers. So how can we understand what it means this day specifically is the day? And we know it's the day of judgment, and that's fine. We can say that we're judged on this day, but why call it the day of remembrance then? Just focused on the din aspect, on the judgment aspect. Why do we focus so much on the fact that Hashem remembers on this day? Is the question clear? All of the question? Okay. Well, my goal for tonight is to give two approaches. One, I think is true, but it's not as strong as the second one. So we'll start with the first one that maybe is not as strong, but I think it's interesting nonetheless, and I'm going to do another screen share over here. And I believe the answer comes from, or an answer comes from a similar question. And that is, if you look at source number two, so source number two is the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Everyone can see the screen? Give me a thumbs up if you can see. Okay. So source number two is from the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah tells us, Kol ha-shofros k'sherin, chutz mishal para. So all the shofros, all the horns are good, are fit for the mitzvah of blowing shofar, except for the horn of a cow. Mipnei shu keren. Because it's called a Karen and not a shofar. Okay, so the Mishnah asks, Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'alo kol shofros nirken Karen? Aren't all shofars called Karen, as the pasuk says, bim shofar b'karen ha-yovel, that you'll blow the shofar for the yovel, which is the Karen of a ram. That implies it's a shofar. Okay, so the Mishnah leaves it at that. So what is the reason? We have to figure out what's the reason ultimately. We do pask in the halacha that a cow's horn cannot be used for the shofar. So what's the reason why not? So the Gemara gives a few different reasons, but the answer we're going to focus on is over here. Source number three. Ula Amar, so Ula says, Hainu taima de Rabbanan kedir of chista. The reasoning of the Rabbanan who say that a horn of a cow is unfit for a shofar is like that of Rav Chisda. Number of Chisda, mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas b'bigdei zahav, lifnai v'lifnim, b'avod avoda. So the Gemara is actually drawing another point. And that is that we know when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has two sets of garments. He has his gold garments that he wears every day. Those are part of the eight begadim. And then the special garments that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur when he goes lifnai v'lifnim, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh. And those garments are made of white linen. No gold whatsoever. So the Gemara is asking, why does he have to change out of his white garment, out of his gold vestments? Why does he have to put on these white garments, these white linen garments? Why can't he go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, wearing his gold vestments? So Gemara says, Lefi she'ein kategor nasa sanegor. Because the defense, the prosecutor, kategor is a prosecutor, cannot become the defense attorney. Cannot become the defense. Sanegor means a defense, a defender. So what does this mean? So Rashi tells us that when we think of gold, when it comes to the Jewish people, what do we often think of? What gets brought up to our attention?
The golden calf.
The golden calf, exactly. And Rashi explains this Gemara to say that since the Jew, if you look at the unbold here, is the explanation from Safaria, but it's according to Rashi. Since the Jewish people committed the sin of worshiping the golden calf, the high priest may not enter the Holy of Holies to atone for the Jewish people wearing golden garments, as they would bring that sin to mind. So the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear the gold garments when he goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim, because that would remind Hashem of the Cheda Egel. And the last thing that we want Hashem thinking about when the Kohen Gadol is trying to get atonement and going into the Holy of Holies is the Cheda Egel. Similarly, we do not blow a shofar. What the Gemara is telling us is we don't blow a shofar from a cow's horn, because what's an Egel? It's a calf. A calf is the child of a cow, right? And if we blow a cow's horn, what's going to happen? The shofar is going to blow. And what's going to happen? Hashem is going to hear the shofar, kavyachol, and remember the Chet HaEgel, and that's going to be a disaster for us. Therefore, you can't blow the shofar with a cow's horn. Okay. Now, there are other times we say that the Parah Aduma, actually, the Gemara asks, there are other cases where we do use the blood of the cow is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe that should remind Hashem too. So Gemara says, no, that already changes its form. And it's not lifnai. Okay, fine. So what the Gemara is telling us is the reason why we can't use a cow's horn for shofar is because ein kategor nasa sanegor, the prosecutor cannot become the defense, and we don't want to remind Hashem of the Cheda Egel. Now, the same problem that we had with the Zichronos in general should apply here too. Hashem is not, when I ask my parents for something, so what do? I make sure not to mention the last bad thing that I did. I don't want them to be thinking about the last bad thing that I did when I ask them for something new. So I try to brush that under the rug and I make sure that they don't remember it. And then I ask them for something new. Hashem knows what the Cheda Egel is. Hashem remembers it. What does that mean that we don't want Hashem to remember the Cheda Egel? What does that even mean? So Rav Dessler explains as follows. Rav Elio Dessler explains, from the Sefer Michtav Me'elio, explains that what the Gemara is teaching us is that it's not about Hashem remembering, but about the Jewish people remembering. That when we're doing teshuva on Yom Kippur, when we're blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we are trying to elevate ourselves to a higher level. We're trying to bring ourselves back to the status of before we sinned. And the last thing that we want to do is put ourselves in the mindset of getting ourselves down and remembering the sins that we did, especially the greatest sin, the golden calf. Says Rav Dessler, Ein kategor nasa sanegor is not coming to say that we don't want to bring it to Hashem's attention, but we don't want to bring it to our own attention. We want to be able, because once we get ourselves down and we start thinking, we have what's called yish, right? We give up. We say, oh, how can I ever fulfill the mitzvahs when I have this baggage of the Cheda Egel on me? So in order to avoid that, we don't use the cow's horn and we don't let the Kohen Gadol wear gold into the Kodesh HaKadosh. A fascinating answer. So perhaps you could say the same thing here. Perhaps you could say the reason why we mention, it's almost the opposite perhaps, but the reason why we mention our sins, not that Hashem should remember them, rather perhaps it's almost the opposite approach, but we should remember them. Why should we remember them? Because as we pointed out, the whole idea that Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Sure, we're not actually mentioning our specific sins on this day, where we spoke about that last week at length, that today is the day of Hashem's Malchus. But internally, we should be remembering or realizing that Hashem remembers everything, and that we should remember the things that we did so that we can ultimately do a proper teshuvah and become better ourselves. We can't do that without realizing that Hashem remembers everything we did. And if Hashem remembers everything we do, then we certainly on this day have to remember everything that we do in order to properly do teshuvah. So that's one answer. Perhaps we could explain what it means, Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance. That it's not necessarily about Hashem's remembrance, because it's always open before Hashem. But rather, our time to push ourselves to remember the things that we did, even if we're not going to mention them. We're not going to mention them today, but at least start thinking about them to properly do teshuvah.
Well, wouldn't it make sense that on this day, for sure, we should think about it because of the fact that every single day we're supposed to think about it when we have it as one of the six remembrances? So why would it, I mean, it only makes sense that we should think about it even more so on Rosh Hashanah and not make it be something forgotten when we're supposed to remember it every single day.
For sure. For sure, that of all days, today's the day we definitely want to remember it. If we're supposed to remember it every day, we want to be in our best behavior today with everything we do. For sure. Thank you, Maxwell. Now, I think it's a nice answer, and I'm very fond of this Rav Dessler piece in general. But I'll be honest with you, it's not the most satisfying answer. Because we just read the Tefillah, and the Tefillah seems to imply that but what I just did was I made a drush to answer a question, right? I made a nice answer that works, but the problem is it doesn't necessarily fit within the pshat, right? It doesn't fit within the simple explanation, the simple understanding. Because if we look at the tefillah which we read, right, the whole tefillah that we opened up and we read, it doesn't seem to say that, right? It seems to focus on the fact that Hashem remembers on this day all of these things, right? We said that explicitly, right? We say, you set up an appointed time to remembrance, to consider every soul and every being, to cause numerous deeds to be remembered. Okay, that could be, you know, you read either way. But again, it seems that, you know, there's no forgetfulness before your throne, nothing's hidden before your eyes. You remember all things that have been done. So it seems like the focus is on Hashem's remembering today. So then the question is, what does this mean? What does it mean, going back to our question? Again, we have one answer. I do think it does answer the question somewhat. And I do think it's true and that we do need to remember our sins on this day. Or we do need to start making a cheshbon and thinking, if we truly want to serve Hashem properly, where do we need to fix ourselves? For sure. For sure. But I don't know if that's the simple explanation of what Zichronus is all about. And in order to answer the question, perhaps in a little bit more of a broader way, is that we need to actually look at the psukim that are quoted. You see, when we say Malchios Zichronos and Shofros, it's not just about the themes of the day, but part of the din, the halacha of that, is that we actually read 10 verses from each section, from Torah, comprised of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, about each of those sections. 10 psukim that have to do with Malchios, 10 psukim that have to do with Zichronos, and 10 psukim that have to do with Shofros. So, in order to really understand what Zichronos is all about, maybe we should look at the psukim that are chosen to represent Zichronos. Because if you had to pick psukim to represent Zichronos, in the simplest sense, to show that Hashem remembers our actions on this day, so what would I do? I would probably open up the Nevi'im Achronim, right? Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu. I would open up to about Sodom. And now Hashem saw what happened to what was going on in Sodom. And he destroyed Sodom. And I would talk about Hashem saw what happened to what the Mitzrayim were doing. And he destroyed Mitzrayim. And I would talk about Noah. Now, we do talk about Noah. But I would talk about Noah specifically about how the people were so evil and Hashem destroyed the world. I would talk about how Cain killed his brother and Hashem punished Cain. Right? That's what we think when we think about Zichronos. When we think about that Hashem remembers all the things that we do on this day, what are we thinking about? We're thinking about all the things that we did wrong that Hashem draws to his attention on this day. Right? We think about that Hashem knows that I woke up late one day last year and I missed Man Kriya Shema. Hashem knows that I did this. Hashem knows that I did that. And if I don't do tshuva, I'm going to get zapped. Right, that's what I think about personally. off the bat. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy. But that's what I do. When we think of Zichronos, that Hashem remembers all the things that we do, so usually that's where our mind goes. That Hashem remembers the things that we did, and now we have to have a reckoning for it. But if we look at the Psukim, which we will in just a minute, we'll see that that's not what's going on. Those aren't the Psukim that are quoted, the ones that I just said. Rather, many other psukim are quoted, which give us a fundamentally different idea of what's going on here, and one that could be incredibly insightful to our Rosh Hashanah. So let's look right off the bat at source number 4 on the screen share. As we pointed out, the first one is from Noach, right? That we say, "V'gam es Noach ba'ava zacharta," and Noach too, you remembered with love, and therefore decreed for him a promise of deliverance and compassion. When you brought the flood waters to destroy all flesh because of the wickedness of their deeds, okay, we did talk about that, but that's not the pasuk we bring. Therefore, his remembrance came before you, Hashem, our God, to multiply his seed like the dust of the earth and his descendants and the sand of the sea, shenemar, as it's written. Kakasubasar, as it's written in your Torah, vayizkor Elokim es Noach, veis kol achayav es kol abehima asher ito bateva, and God remembered Noah and all of the beasts and all of the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused the wind to pass over the earth and the waters were calm. Whoa. What just happened there? What was the pasuk that was quoted from Noah? Not the pasuk that has to do with the destruction of the people and their sins, but that Hashem remembered Noah and saved him. So I think right off the bat, the first insight that we have to take out about Zichronos, before even getting to this pasuk specifically, is that Hashem is not only remembering the bad things that we do on this day. Now, we might know this, but just to say it out loud, sometimes we need that chizuk. But Hashem also remembers all the good things that we do on this day. And Hashem also remembers all the mitzvos that we did, all the learning that we did, all the chesed that we did, all the tefillos that we did. Hashem remembers all of that also. Just an insight. Many of us forget that. Again, not to get ahead of ourselves and say because of that we're going to be fine. We do have to daven and we have to assume at the very least that we're beinonim, that we're in the middle ground. But we have to remember that we did good things too. But what Rashi points out over here is something unbelievable. We know that there are different ways in which we refer to Hashem, the different names of Hashem. So when we're talking about the Midah of Rachamim, of mercy, what name do we use? So the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, right? Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, right? That's the name we call it Ad-Hashem. We don't pronounce it, but that's the name of Rachamim. Usually when we see Rachamim in the Torah, we see Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. What does our pasuk say here? Vayizkor Elokim. Elokim is the midah of judgment, of din, of harshness. What does the pasuk tell us? Rashi points out, why does it say that Elokim remembered Noah and calmed the waters? Because Rashi tells us that it started as midas hadin. This is from the Sifsei Chaim. That the din, the judgment, the harsh judgment of Noah, because really he failed his mission, he was supposed to get more people, turned into rachamim. It went from Elokim to Elokim performing a midah of rachamim. And what the Rav Chaim Friedlander explains in Sifsei Chaim, what he's telling us, is that the remembrance of Hashem on this day isn't necessarily about, Hashem remembers everything, we know that. But what are we asking Hashem to do when we ask him to recall? We're asking him not to recall the events, but perhaps to reinterpret them, in a sense. To change his perspective on them, right? But Yizkor Elokim, we're saying Hashem, yes, we may be deserving of judgment, but please, just like you did to Noah, turn that into rachamim. Through our tefillah, through our supplications, turn that into rachamim, turn that into mercy. This idea of changing our perspective, in a sense, Hashem changing his perspective, is actually one that's employed in relationships as well. Dr. John Gottman, in his book, John Gottman is Jewish, but he's a famous researcher who's done hours and hours and thousands of hours of research on marriage and love. And he's him and his wife are marriage therapists, and they have a program, the Gottman Institute. And John Gottman, one of his principles, I meant to bring the book here, but my son is sleeping and I left it in his room. One of the principles is about how one way to overcome contempt in a marriage and criticism in a marriage is by remembering a little bit more holistically, looking at the big picture. Looking at, yes, I'm upset at what this person is doing right now, and they deserve, in a sense, judgment. But let's think of all the other good things that they did. Let's think about all their other positive qualities and their positive attributes. And by doing that, what does it do? It doesn't change the action that they did, right? It doesn't change whatever they did that frustrated you. But what it does is, by thinking about all the other things around them that they do in the big picture, it changes our perspective towards them. It allows us to be more flexible. It allows us to shift from that midas hadin to the midas harachamim. Again, even though the circumstances haven't changed, the same plate was broken because of the clumsy fingers, nothing changed about that, and nothing's going to bring that plate back. But if I remember all the times that they didn't drop the plate, if I remember all the times that maybe I dropped the plate and they didn't give me a hard time, or if I remember all the times that I did something, whatever it is, in a sense, we make ourselves more flexible to tap into that midas harachamim. And in a sense, that's the first level here of what we're asking Hashem to do by zechira. We're not asking Hashem to remember the event. Hashem remembers the event. But we're asking Hashem, remember everything around the event. Remember all the things that built up to that event. Yes, I messed up. I messed up. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. There are times that I did do things that I was supposed to do. There are other circumstances that led me here, that maybe I was on a path that I couldn't get off momentum. And if I, whatever it is, Hashem flipped the midas hadin to the midas harachamim. That's the first perspective of zichronos. And that we learn from Noah. But if we go further in the psukim, we see more lessons. And again, I think these are all correct and all part of one big picture. The next pasuk that's brought is v'nemar. Vayishma Elokim es nachkasam, vayizkor Elokim es briso, es Avraham, es Yitzchak, ve'es Yaakov. So this is by Mitzrayim. Fast forward a couple thousand years. We're in Mitzrayim. The Jewish people are suffering under the whips of the Egyptians and of Paro. And the pasuk says, and God heard their groaning cry, and God remembered his covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, what's interesting is, and it's not necessarily on this pasuk, but it says, v'yeyenchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodah, that the Jewish people sighed, they cried out because of the work, and Hashem heard their cry. So Rav Yaakov Melisa is famous for the Sefer Nesivos HaMishpat, but also in his Haggadah, tells us that the tremendous chesed of Hashem in that moment wasn't just that he took us out, but that what? That the pasuk tells us explicitly that our cry wasn't for Hashem. We didn't cry out to God even, right? What does the pasuk say? By Ishmael, looking at Naakasam, and God heard their groaning cry. It doesn't say who the cry was to. And in fact, in another pasuk says, Ve'yeyanhu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. They cried out from the hard work, from the labor. Yet Hashem, what did he do at that moment? Reinterpreted their cry. He reinterpreted their action as a tefillah to him, and he answered it. That's the chesed of Hashem in that moment. And that's also what we ask. Phase number two, the first thing that we ask Hashem to do with the first pasuk is we can't change what we did, but maybe you could change your perspective. The second thing we ask of Hashem is, maybe you could reinterpret our actions. Maybe you could shed light onto it and see that maybe it wasn't as malicious as it may have seemed initially. Now, again, we can't pull the wool over God's eyes. But again, I think that gets into the same idea of Hashem knows all of our circumstances. Hashem knows what leads us to every moment of our lives. We say it in the tefillah also, Ata Yotzra V'ata Yudei Yitzra. Right? You created them and you know their inclinations. And we're asking Hashem, look at our inclinations as well. Look at what led us to that moment. Look at all the things that brought us there and please reinterpret it, Latova. Don't look at it as the negative. Reinterpret our cries. Reinterpret our chesed, things that we didn't necessarily do, lishma. Reinterpret them as things that are leading towards you, as things that can be interpreted positively. Combining the first two, again, they're nuanced, but they're different. The first is you can't change the circumstance. You can't change the interpretation, but you can change your perspective. The second one is, even if you can't change your perspective, maybe you can reinterpret the action. That's number two. Number three, the next pasuk, v'nema, v'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'af es brisi Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avram, eskor v'aretz eskor. And the pasuk says, I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and also my covenant with Yitzchak, and also my covenant with Abraham, with Avram, will I remember, and the land of Israel, I will remember. What's the pasuk teaching us? That Hashem remembers the Avos? More than that. Third level. That even if the situation can't be, the perspective can't be changed, and even if the circumstance can't be reinterpreted, at the very least, we still have Zchus Avos. We still have the Zchus Avos. We're still the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who gave everything for you. Right? Zichronos is literally, which is going to lead into the next one, Zichronos is the tefillah, in a sense, the Bali Musar, Bali Machshav explains, is the tefillah of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, who laid himself out there on the Akedah before you. Remember the schus of Yitzchak. Remember the schus of Avram, the schus of Yaakov, who did everything for you, who gave up everything for you. Those are our forefathers. That's our DNA. And if you can't reinterpret our actions, at the very least, remember them. Again, our actions are all in front of Hashem always. But we're asking Hashem, pull in from other places. Pull in from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as well into our judgment, into our picture. Remember the bigger picture that includes them as well. And hopefully with that, we'll be Zoche B'Din. But if not, then there's another level. Source number five is a continuation. La'idei avadecha ha'nevi'im kasuv le'mor. The Nevi'im tell us, Haloch v'karos v'ozni Yerushalayim. Go out and call the Navi Yirmiyahu. Go out and call out in the ears of Yerushalayim le'mor, saying, Ko amar Hashem, zacharti lo chesed nu'raich, avas kelu lo sayich. Thus says Hashem, I remember for you the kindness of your youth, the love of your bridal days, how you followed me into the wilderness in the land that was not cultivated. We ask Hashem, remember those days. If you think about it, it's crazy. The Jewish people, yes, granted, they were in Mitzrayim, and what did they have to lose? But we know that very often we'll do self-destructive things if they make more sense to us than the other alternatives. So one could have argued, better for us to stay in Mitzrayim than it is to go out into the desert where we'll surely die. What did Bnei Yisrael do? They said, absolutely not. Lechtech achai b'midbar, be'eretz lo zaru. Hashem says, you followed me out into the desert, into the uncultivated land, where without my divine protection, it was certain death. You relied on me. And Hashem remembers that. And we say to Hashem, remember how the Jewish people sacrificed for you. And not just in the midbar. But remember all the generations of sacrifices that the Jewish people have made for you. But more than that, remember our sacrifices that we've made for you. Remember the monetary sacrifices that we've made to send our children to yeshiva. Remember the financial sacrifices that we've made by not working on Shabbos. Remember the comforts that we gave up for different things. Hashem, there's always what we're trying to do is, again, certainly the remembrance of our actions before Hashem, but we keep trying to draw from other areas. That's what Zichronos is about. Hashem, draw up the memory of all of the sacrifices throughout all of history and specifically our personal sacrifices in order to give us the schus to continue to be Zoche B'Din. And if that doesn't work, then we have the last pasuk. Again, there are a couple more that I'm not quoting, but this one is in terms of the ones that we are quoting, the final. V'nemar. V'zacharti es bisi ozak v'meinu raich. Okay. V'nemar. Haben yakir li Ephraim. Im yelad shashuim ki midei dabi bo zacharas kerenu od alkein hamu me'alo rachim arachamenu nuhum Hashem. Hashem says, is Ephraim not my precious son? Is he not a child of delight? For whenever I speak of him, I recall him even more. Therefore, my innermost being is aroused. For him, I will surely have compassion on him, says Hashem. We say to Hashem, at the end of the day, if you can't change the circumstance, you can't change your perspective, and you can't reinterpret the circumstance, and we don't have any chazavos, and our sacrifices aren't good enough, at the end of the day, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're your children. We're your children. You're our father. You're our mother. We are your children. And a parent doesn't stay mad at a child. A parent, when a child does something wrong, yes, it may irk the parent. It may frustrate the parent. But all of the things that we said until now, all of the different perspectives, I think, are summarized, are subsumed, fit perfectly into that relationship of a parent and child. That a parent is always able to change their perspective. A parent is always able to reinterpret the circumstance that their child did. When somebody, imagine anyone remember when somebody comes and criticizes your child, that you'll bend over backwards to make it right in your head that your child did the right thing. Sometimes to a fault sometimes. Sometimes we have to put ourselves in check to make sure that we're not overdoing it, to make sure that we're being honest with ourselves. Certainly, it's Chosavos. He's my child. And this idea, this thought that Hashem, that the last plea that we have to Hashem with the Zichronos is remember, Hashem, that we are your children. Remember, Hashem, that without you, we have nothing. Without you, we rely on you. We rely on you for everything. And that's what the Zichronos is about. Again, taking these five ideas into account. Again, the five being that first we ask Hashem. Again, we can't change the circumstance, but we ask Hashem. And it's there. Hashem doesn't forget it. We ask Hashem either one, to change his perspective from din to rachamim, like by Noah, or two, reinterpret our actions just like he reinterpreted the cries of the Jewish people as tefillas, or three, the schus avos, or four, the sacrifices that generations of Jewish people have made, and five, at the very least, we are his children. That's what Zichronos is. In other words, what Zichronos is about painting a bigger picture for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to judge. It's about, again, not in a way of pulling the wool over his eyes. We can't do that. But without our tefillahs, in a sense, Hashem will look at us as din. It takes our tefillah to bring these things into action. In other words, Rosh Hashanah, Zichronos isn't only about our judgment for right now. But if we do it properly, if we tap into it, if we do the preparation, then we're able to tell Hashem, and Hashem judges us in the past, in the present, and in the future. We could say to Hashem, Hashem, look at you. I need more time on this world because I need to fulfill my mission. Remember that. Look forward in time and remember what the mission, the tafkid you gave me was and how only I can fulfill it. Okay, I may need to change my ways in order to do so, but remember that you gave me a mission. Remember all the people that I was able to help along the way. And if you take me away, if you don't give me more time and more resources and more potential, how that's going to impact others. Take the whole picture. In fact, I'll tell you, as we're coming to a close, that there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? What's going on the second day if the judgment was on the first day? Anyone ever think about that? If the judgment is on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, what are we doing in shul on the second day? What are we trying to accomplish? We were already judged. There's an appeal? Okay, the Aseret Me'etzuvah are an appeal, but why 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? So, the Zohar explains, again, Michtav Me'elio explains that the first day is a judgment specifically in an objective way, on us. How many sins did we do? How many mitzvahs did we do? And what's our din? But the second day is called Dina Rafia. The second day is called a soft din, where Hashem takes all these things into account. where Hashem takes into account how much we're needed by others, how much we helped others, how we can help others reach their potential and fulfill their tafkidim, their missions. And that's part of Zichronos as well. We ask Hashem as Zichronos, not about remembering our sins and our mitzvahs. Hashem does that anyway. But about davening, that Hashem will take everything else into account as well. And if we do so, if we're able to tap into that, to that zichronos, those other zichronos, that more holistic, that bigger picture, then Mirtz Hashem, Hashem will not just remember the mitzvahs and averos, but remember the bigger picture of things, the ways we're able to help and the ways that we're able to contribute to this world, and to show him that we should have more time, and we could benefit with more time, and we can glorify his name with the more that he gives us on Rosh Hashanah. So that's our discussion tonight for Zichronos. Mirtz Hashem will pick up next week with Shofros, which will be the conclusion. I wish everyone a good Gevench Dura and a Ksiv L'Chsima Tova, but I'll see you probably tomorrow. But in any event, everyone should have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, and you too.